There's so much about Christmas that's familiar and certain. And I have to say, I love that. I sometimes think that it's like that big, long, warm overcoat I keep in the closet year after year. It's not in perfect style every year, but it's so familiar, so comforting to dig it out and put it on that one time when I really need it. It fits so well, so warm, so familiar, so good to wrap it around us, to rest in it, to return to it, like the beloved traditions of Christmas that improve with age, growing more and more beloved every year, precisely because they're old. There's a deep satisfaction, a deep nourishment in drawing warmth from them in the midst of the cold that surrounds. And this midnight gathering is one of those nourishing traditions. It feels every year like an expedition into the ancient somehow. This setting out into the midnight, drawn across the darkness to a tiny flame. It has such unlikely power, this tiny, tiny flame. The ocean of darkness which surrounds it may well be vast, galactic, but it evaporates under the pull of this tiny spark that breaks open the midnight. They taste so good, these nourishing traditions, many of them literally so, in this time of feasting, rich and fragrant. They feel so good as we wrap them around us and round our loved ones in loving generosity. They have a look of goodness as we gaze into them and huddle together to their warmth, like these candles we'll light a few moments from now. I hope you all got a candle, did you, as you came in? You got a candle? That's good, because we'll need them in a few moments. And the sound of Christmas, the sound of Christmas, the sound of Christmas is like no other. There is no other time when we depend so much on songs. I don't think we could remember Christmas half so well if we did not have them. For it is well known that this is what songs do. They unlock memory. Songs are used for this in every culture, used to hold on to what is essential and precious, to store it away in memory, and to pass the stories across the generations. No doubt the scriptures do the same. We read again every year this unforgettable story in unfathomable depth and power from these rich and ancient pages. I would not be without them. Yet I'm mindful that a full generation passed, or more, before the first accounts of Jesus were written down as gospels. What form did those stories live in before they were written down? There must have been songs during that time. Must have been songs before the Gospels were written in the form we know them. Dithyrambs of marketplace bards surely harped this Gloria in Excelsis Deo, this amazing story, before it became Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, the Gospels we know. The New Testament epistles, which predate the Gospels, tell of Paul and Silas singing hymns in prison. They admonish the faithful to let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Teach and admonish one another in all wisdom, and with gratitude in your hearts, sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs to God. So the songs of Jesus must have predated the written sources we regard as so authoritative. The songs take us deeper. They take us past the intellect to the heart. They take us to the breath. They allow us not only to find our hearts together in singing, but after we've done so, they empower us to come from the heart in our actions and in our connections. The songs are more than decoration, more than baubles on the tree. They are a deep well into which we reach and dive to find the thing we've really come looking for tonight. The songs tell of an ancient prophecy fulfilled, as seers of old have sung, that Isaiah 'twas foretold it. This is a wonder. Our more pragmatic selves would likely talk us out of this one. Our technological selves would talk us out of believing in or even paying attention to a prophecy. But our souls still seek it. We need wisdom to unlock the looming mystery that is our future. What will come? What will it mean? What are the signs we see around us now? We think about this most at Christmas time, I think, as we close out the old year and enter the new. The prophecies of Christ's birth resonate with the awe and wonder we feel for the coming time, as so they should, for he is still the coming one of our human future. The songs call us to worship. They awaken in us a love and adoration for the newborn babe in a way we can't get to without them. The miraculous birth, the awe and wonder of shepherds, the faithfulness of our hearts live in the songs in ways they don't always in the workaday. There's a hunger in our hearts, and at Christmas, we plunge into this well of songs and slake our deep thirst for faithfulness, for goodness, for simplicity, for worship. In these Christmas songs, glories stream from afar and find us here at midnight, shepherds all. The songs tell all the Bethlehem tale, all the politics and intrigue of royal David's city, of Herod and Magi and flight into Egypt. They unwrap and uncover these riches of memory that lie within us year after year. Each of these silent night come faithfuls brought out and dusted off, carefully unpacked like the sturdy, trusted heirlooms each is. A manger, an ox, a box of ancient hay, a tiny babe. It seems so fragile, this gleaming story, so human, that moves us so. If we drop them, they could break. So many songs to tell it all so lovingly each year. But if that were all the songs could sing, if that were all, we'd pack them up on New Year's Day like all the rest, or else on Epiphany, and put them away, and maybe get them out again next year. But there is a greater tale, a greater song that sings them all, and that is the song that keeps us singing all the year. Veiled in flesh, the Godhead see. Hail the incarnate deity. Pleased as one of us to dwell, Jesus, our Emmanuel. It's a so familiar song. A song that bids us look up beyond the manger, beyond the stable, the inn, beyond Mary and Joseph, beyond the babe even, and see the star of incarnation. Of all the strange and wondrous words that are unique in the church, this is the strangest and most wonderful, and perhaps the least familiar, incarnation. It's somewhere, though, in all these songs, a reminder that the meaning is not just here. The meaning is not just tonight. It is forever and for always. A tale of cosmic love that sings us into being. It was there before us and will be after us. It's a story of separation, of God in heaven and us on earth, and the deep separation between us. And most of all, it's a story of the smashing of that this night. For after tonight, there is no more of that, because he's come. He's come. Earth and heaven are separate no longer, for God has left his heaven and come to earth, and all for cosmic love. The firmament of ancient times is broken open in everlasting incarnation. What was for ancient people a solid dome over our heads is now an open universe. God's love has broken through to earth. It's often difficult for us to grasp, but this is what the babe announces. Not so much about himself, but about us. We are no longer spectators in the manger tale, but full participants, for we are veiled in flesh like him. It is perhaps our hardest song. We still want to place it in the future or in the past. But after tonight, it is here. It is now. And this is the tale of peace that sings from every song. In him, the separation of God and human is overcome. It is no more. And not for judgment, but for love. There is no greater peace than this. All is calm. All is bright. Son of God, love's pure light.